We're on Daf Samach Gimel Amid Aleph, about to start the Gemara after the Mishnah, about 10-12 lines down from the top. The Mishnah had recorded a machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim regarding someone who wears military armor, some sort of uniform, different parts like swords and bows and shields and so forth, and in Rishus HaRabim, whether he's Chai V'Chatos for violating Melechus Hotzod Doraisa, or as Rabbi Eliezer would say, these are Tachshitim, and he would not be Chayav for wearing them in Rishus HaRabim. So on the list of these various Klei Milchama is Ola. My Ola, the Gemara wants to know, Kulfa. In Hebrew, that's called a Makel Shel Barzel. She Rosho Agol Ha'asui Lahakos Bo, which is a metal club with a round ball at the head, and it's used to beat up people. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tachshitim Hein Lo, and the Chachom say it's a Gnai, and they quote the Pasuk V'kitisu Charbosam Le'itim V'chanoseim Le'masmeros, etc. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Omru lo le Rabbi Eliezer, v'chi me'achar, de tachshitin hein lo, v'pnei ma b'telim li mos ha-mashiach. So the Chachamim turned to Rabbi Eliezer and say, why was this going to be completely excluded when you mos ha-mashiach, if these are different types of tachshitim? Let them exist as tachshitim. Omalehem, Rabbi Eliezer responds, l'fisha enom tzrichim. If it's not necessary, because at the time of the ultimate redemption, there will be no more war, and therefore, it's not a noib. So the Gemara immediately asks, wait a second. Okay, you don't need it anymore, but why do they have to be v'telim? Why do we have to exclude them? V'tevi l'noi b'alma. Let them serve no longer as klei milchama, but as noi. Amar Abai, midi dehavi ashraga betira. It's similar to a light, a candle in the middle of the day, and you don't need it, and therefore it's not beautiful. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't enhance anything. At night we need the or, but not during the day. And so too klei milchama. Bizmanas, we have milchama, we need them. So they are takshitim. And even if he carries them not during wartime, it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, they serve as a taksh, but liosid lavo, there won't be any significance at all, it won't be even noi. That's what Rabbi Eliezer says. And lefish einam tzrichim, since they don't need it, they're not mishamish even as a takshit, according to the Chachamim, because they are similar to a shraga betira. Now, in the Braisa, it seems that there'll be, based on this prophecy of Yeshayo, that weapons will no longer be around, you know, swords into plowsheds, etc. These are nechamos, these are words of consolation regarding the Yemos HaMashiach, or perhaps during the time of Tchias HaMesim. And the Gemara now clarifies this brisa that seems to argue against the Pliga de Shmuel, that this brisa is against Shmuel. Interesting language of Pliga de Shmuel when you're quoting a brisa, and you ask a kash on Shmuel from a brisa, pliga, as if there's a machlokes. I don't know if Shmuel can argue against the brisa. The Rashash says that this brisa was never taught in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Chi and Rav Oshia, who were in charge of the brisos. Well, because this is not a halachic issue, therefore you could argue about it, even against the brisa. In any event, the statement of Shmuel is pretty revolutionary. He says, Omar Shmuel, Ein Bein Olam Azeli Mos HaMashiach El Shibud Golius Bilvad. So the only difference between nowadays and the times of Mashiach is whether or not the Jews would be subjugated. And otherwise the world will go on as is through the natural law. What will change is that Jews will return from the lands of Golus. They'll dwell in complete security in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, there's no need for any weapons. Again, if the other nations want to beat each other up and kill each other, they'll let them have their own war, and then they'll wear these military garments, but we will not be subject to any wars. We'll be in total independence, total security. And what's the proof? Shenemar, the post says in Sefer Dvarim, Ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev ha'aretz. There will always be poverty in the land. And that indicates that the world will go on according to the natural law. And on the other hand, you know, the Navi is saying about Osid Lava, lo yeknani od. And a knani here means an oni in this pasuk, because the notrikun of knani is kan oni. Dahainu, what this means is shelo yeheb bizmana hu anius. So the way the brice is being interpreted here is that there won't be any poverty at the time of Mashiach. So the pasuk in Dvarim implies that there will always be poverty and wealth, and the Yemos HaMashiach is part of the natural order of the universe. So the consolation of the Navi of Zechariah V'lo Yeknani Od refers to the Olam Haba. That's what it seems to indicate in this brisa. He says, Shaloye bizmana hu anius, when it says lo yeknani, even though the other poskim dvarim says there'll always be anius, is we have to say that the Navi, when he says lo yeknani od, he's not talking about Yemos HaMashiach. That's called Olam Hazeh. And about that world of Olam Hazeh, which includes Yemos HaMashiach, the Torah says lo yechdal ev yom yikaref. There'll always be Evyonim, there'll always be Aniyim. So the Pasuk Lo Yeknani Od is referring to Olam Abba, not to Yemos HaMashiach. Now, you might ask the question, if there's not going to be Shibud Malchus, why is there any need for Klei Milchama Yemos HaMashiach? So the Marsha says that as far as the Goy is concerned, with regard to the Israel, there will not be Shibud Malchus. They don't need Klei Milchama. But with regard to a Goy, there will still be a Shimush for Klei Milchama. And it could be that even a Yisrael could wear the Klei Milchama as a Tachshit, even though he doesn't need it for security purposes. So again, we have one brisa that says that Bimos HaMashiach we don't need any sort of protection. And we have Shmuel who says that Bimos HaMashiach still belongs to this world. So again, according to Shmuel, we're going to make a distinction between Bimos HaMashiach and Olam Haba. And during Yemos HaMashiach, there's still milchama going around in the world, and there still might be a need for these weapons and wearing this armor and so forth and so on. Because according to Shmuel, during Yemos HaMashiach, the world is still functioning according to nature, and he proves this from the fact that there'll always be anius in the world. As far as the promise that there won't be anius in the world, then Shmuel's going to have to interpret that as referring to Yemos HaMashiach. What I'm not sure about is let's raise the following question. According to Shmuel, the Nevuah of Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev, is that referring to Yemos HaMashiach? If we're saying that in Yemos HaMashiach the world goes according to nature and the natural law, so how does Shmuel interpret Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev? So it seemed that Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev is referring to Olam Abba according to Shmuel. As far as Yemos HaMashiach is concerned, there will still be Melchama in the world, and therefore the claim Melchama is still meaningful for Yisrael, insofar as there's no Shibud Malchus, they don't need the claim Melchama per se, but could still be a Takshid, and we can understand Rabbi Eliezer's Shita, because there is Melchama still in the world. Enochinami, as far as Olam Abba is concerned, there's no significance to claim Melchama, even as far as the Takshid is concerned, because nowhere in Olam Abba do we need these claim Melchama. And this Braisa is Misayele L'Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, and the Braisa that says that even in Yemos HaMashiach, and that's what the Chacham were arguing against Rabbi Eliezer, there's no need for armor because there's no more war, and and according to the argument of Chachamim during Yemos HaMashiach, the status of Klei Melchama is equal to, parallel to Shraga Betira, so it's completely bottle. That's the Chachamim sheet. In a certain sense, Rabbi Eliezer fits in much better according to Shmuel Shita, that even during Yemos HaMashiach there'll still be Melchama in the world. Maybe the Jews will be in an independent, secure state, but there'll be Melchama out there in the world. Or Yisrael Goyel is referring to Olam Abba. So the Gemara says, Misayele, this Braisa is a support for Abchiyah Bar Abba. Nomer Abchiyah Bar Abba, Kol Anavim Lo Nisnabu El Yemos HaMashiach, Avol Li Olam Abba Ayin Lo Ros Alokim Zulasecha. So this Braisa is a support for Abchiyah Bar Abba, who says that the Divrei Nechum of the Nevi'im are related to Yemos HaMashiach. And in Yemos HaMashiach, we're talking about a sublime kind of existence, but, you know, it's still within the framework of this world. There won't be any Milchama, and Olam Abba is already outside the framework of this world. You know, that's Ayin Shal Nevi'im, even Ayin Shal Nevi'im Lo Sholto Lirosam. But that's what we're saying over here, that the Braisa that interprets Yeshayo and the final end to war in the world is referring to Yemos HaMashiach. That supports Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, who says that all the Divrei Nevi'im and all their prophecies related to Yemos HaMashiach. And Olam Abba, that's already something totally different, and no one's capable of seeing this. Now, what would Olam Abba be according to Shmuel? That's what I'm trying to figure out, because if according to Shmuel, the Pasuk Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev is referring to Olam Haba, so what exactly is Olam Haba? I don't know if I could answer that, but it's not the way we understand Olam Haba, which is, as we would say, it's Ayin Lo Rasa, you know, it's together, shall we say, the world of the souls. with the no physicality, and the tzaddikim are sitting there, atchoseim al rasheihem, you know, delighting in their closeness to the Shekhinah, without any bodily activity. So that doesn't seem to fit with Shmuel, if this nevuah of Yeshaya, of turning, you know, the swords into plowsheds and so forth and so on, because plowsheds mean that with the physical world, as we know, it still goes on. So the Marshoi here, I think, introduces another element to the equation, just to make life even more complicated, and that's called Trias HaMesim. And it could be that in Trias HaMesim, the bodies will be there, so it's not disembodied souls, but yet there would be no milchama. That's going to be a thing of the past once it's Trias HaMesim. The purely spiritual world, on the other hand, is Olam Haba. So we might be saying now, according to Shmuel, that Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev is a prophecy for Trias HaMesim. And the Nechama here is that at the time of Trias HaMesim, there will be no milchama. There'll only be, you know, pruning and plowing and so forth and so on. Okay, now the Gemara, moving on here, brings another nusach for this brisa. And v'ikad diamri omulo l'Rabbi Eliezer l'chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer v'chi me'acher detachshitin hein lo mitnei mayim b'teilim l'yemos ha-mashiach. Right, if it's a tachshit beyond being a weapon, then it should still exist l'yemos ha-mashiach. Omer lehem af l'yemos ha-mashiach einam b'teilim. So it means that even in Yemos HaMashiach, there'll still be war going on. And again, this would reflect the shita of Shmuel, Heine de Shmuel, who pliga de Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. So the way we're lining up the shitas, it seems that there's Rabbi Eliezer and Shmuel on one side, and the Chachamim and Rabbi Chia Bar Abba on the other side. And whereas Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev, which means that these military armor and weapons and so forth be all batel, that's a reference to Yemos HaMashiach. But according to Shmuel, that can't be a reference to Yemos HaMashiach, because although there's no Shivud Malchus, all of the natural phenomenon continue. And therefore Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev is referring to Trias HaMesim. And that would reflect the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that af l'yemos ha-mashiach einam b'teilim. And when will there be total bittul? That's only either at the time of Trias HaMesim or perhaps at the time of Olam Haba. So it's interesting because he writes here that according to this brisa, lo heishiv Rabbi Eliezer l'chacham al etzem ta'anosam lama yibatlu, Eladocha divrayim biomro shelo al yemos hamashiach nemar v'kisesu harbosam litiv sechuli rak liolam haba. So he's assuming that the total end of termination of all war is going to be in olam haba. I find that a little difficult because olam haba is ayin lo rasa. So how could Yeshaya be prophesizing about something that he can't see? So he writes of a kosam marsha. He says, "Aflufi brisa zu al etzem ta nosam lomi batlu yana Rabbi Eliezer lefisha ein tzrichim." So I'm not sure exactly what this quote means, but let's assume, for argument's sake, that the marsha learns that the Lo Yisa Goyel Goy Cherev is referring to Tchias HaMeis. Now the Gemara tries to clarify the logic of Rabbi Eliezer that Tachshitim Hein Lo. Omer Le Abayi L'Rav Dimi V'Amri Le L'Rav Avya V'Amri Le Rav Yosef L'Rav Idimi Amri Le L'Rav Avya V'Amri Le Abayi L'Rav Yosef. There's so many different ways of transmitting. My timer, dear Rabbi Eliezer, the Omer Tachshitim Hein Lo Tichsiv Chagor Charbecha Poskin Tilim Al Yorech Gibor Hodcha VeHadorecha. This is a kapitel which is praising the King of Israel, and he says, "Gird your sword upon your thigh, O Mighty One, for it is your glory and your splendor." So there's Chagor Charbecha. So the Gemara asks the following question. If Chagiras Cherev is called Noi, it's being praised here for the Gibor. Omale Rav Kahana Lamar Bereid Rav Huna Hai Bedivrei Torah Siv. This pasuk is referring to review of Torah, learning Torah study. And all that kapitel over there, which is Mem Hei in Tehillim, it says Rachash Libi Dover Tov, Eit Sofer. It's all a reference to Talmud Chacham who's studying Torah. And the pasuk is telling us that a person should be very careful to review whatever he learnt over and over again, so that he'll remember it. And he'll be able to quote it immediately. He'll be able to bring proofs and so forth, because he remembers what he learns. He'll be able to be successful in what we call Milchamta Shel Torah. He's a Gibor HaChagor Becharbo. He's got his, he girds his sword. Why? Zeu Hodo Vahadro, the Pasuk says. So how can you quote this Pasuk as a Raya that Klei Milcham is called a Tachshit? It's a Noi, because it says Chagor Charbachal Yerech Gibor, when we have this tradition of Rav Kahana that this Pasuk is really an allusion to a whole other world, to the world of Milchamta Shel Torah. Omalei, so Mar Bereid Rav Kahana responds to Rav Kahana. He says, even though we darshan that Pasuk, but Ein Mikra Yotzim De Pshuto. When you see a mashal in the Torah, and a pasuk is symbolic, but you have to read the pasuk as is, interpret it kipshuto shel mikra, and then you'll understand the mashal. Meaning that just like a gibor is chagor charbo, that's hodo vahadro, so too a talmid chacham who reviews his lesson, then he can therefore be chagor chago. He can fight anyone who argues with him against Torah. But we see clearly that chagira sacherev is considered a tachshit. Otherwise, there's no mashal of it. Amar Rav Kahana, Kad Havina Bar Tamnis Reishonim. When I was all of 18 years old, Vahava Gmirale Lechulei Shas, I already had learned all of Shas. That's a great achievement. But nevertheless, he says, "V'lo aviyadano di ein mikra yotziv de pshuto ad hashta." Now, this is a little bit of a pella, because ein mikra yotziv de pshuto is a basic principle, and if we don't understand the Torah, if we can't explain the mitzvahs, I mean, How did he not know this? He says here in the note, "Im lochein nuchal afarish kol mitzvah Torah she'ein kavanosim kipshutam v'yisbatlu kol mitzvah shebatorah chas v'shalom." I mean, you have to learn the mitzvahs. You can't say, "Oh, don't learn the mitzvahs." You know, you can't interpret the mitzvahs. So this principle of ein mikra yotzei pshuto must have been known to Rav Kahana. So he writes, Elis Shesova Sheklal Zehu Rak Bedinin Vahalochos O Beikrei Torah. Aval Bedivrei Melitza Vashir. He says that when we divide up the Torah into two parts, parts are halachic and other parts are more filled with song and praise. There in song and praise, what he calls Melitza Vashir, that's Hadrashua Ikar. And now I find that even with regard to Divrei Shir, Pshat is the Ikar. Because Mar Bereid Rav Huna said that you can't take this pasuk out of its simple context, but rather you derive from this pasuk chagor charbucha, etc., that this is a that these weapons and armor and so forth are tachshit. Is Maika Mashmalon? What is Rav Kahana trying to teach us? The ligmar inchi vahada lizber, that before a person learns, then ligmar. In other words, the first stage in learning should be lilmod, yilamed, yilmad. He should learn a great deal of knowledge, many brises and mishnayos, brises, and even if he doesn't understand them, let him amass, even on a superficial level, a massive amount of knowledge, vahadar lizbar, and then he should look for the svaras, and he tried to understand them in a proper way. So Rav Kahana had a problem with Rabbi Eliezer's reasoning, and Talmudo kfar hoya biyodo kishahoya ben shmonesre. So let's go over. Rav Kahana asked Akasha to Mar Bereid Rav Huna, how does Rabbi Eliezer prove anything from this pasuk, Chagor Charbucha, etc., when that pasuk is referring to Divrei Torah? And the answer is that Ein Mikra Yotzim De Pshuto. And the reason why Rav Kahana didn't realize that in all these years he had a problem with this, despite the fact that it was already at the age of 18 that he knew the entire Shas, is because, yes, he knew the entire Shas because of Ligmar Inish, which means that first you should learn by your Rebbe and you should amass on even a superficial level whatever you know. And what he learned from his Rebbe was that this pasuk is referring symbolically by representing the Torah, the Chachmei Torah, etc. But Hadar Lizbar, now we have to look on a deeper level, and then Rav Kahana was able to farenfa to understand why Rabbi Lezer saw something in this pasuk, meaning that we have to read the pasuk in order to appreciate the mashal in the pasuk. And thus, Rabbi Lezer in his shita is justified in deriving from this pasuk that the klei milchama have the status of a tachshit. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, again, the Gemara gives us a mnemonic device here called Simon Zorus. And we're going to learn a lot about Torah study now. And Zorus, the Zion, is going to refer to Rabbi Eliezer, the Reish to Reish Lakish, the Vav is Vitalmidehem, and then the Saf is a reference to Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Abba. In any event, there's a mnemonic device. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah, Omer Rabbi Lazar, Shnei Talmidei Chacham HaMachadidim Zela Zeb HaLocha. They ask each other's kashes, and through the dialectic of Torah study, it becomes sharper, and they understand it on a deeper level. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzliach Lehem, God will give His Siyata Dishmai, so they will be successful, and they'll arrive at their tachlis, at their agenda. And it's the ultimate goal of eternal life. Shenemar V'adorcha Tzlach, Pasuk in Tehillim, Al Tikri V'adorcha Ela V'chadodcha, that these are mechadidim zed zeh. and therefore the matzliach lo od el sha'olim l'gdula, they reach a high level of greatness. Shenemar, in the next part of the pasuk, it says slach rechav, and the word rechav, which means to ride, rechiva, is a remez for gdula, for greatness. Like, for example, by Yosef it says vayarkev so b'merkeves ha-mishnah, he was so great. Or Mordechai, it says vayikiveu b'rechov ha'ir. So this is the greatness. It's mechudadim and gdula. Yachal afilu shalol l'shma. What happens if people, this is the way we're going to interpret this Gemara, we're influenced here by the Marsha, is when people study the Torah and they come up with what we call pilpulim shel hevel, you know, sometimes very didactics that have no meaning and they're not interested in getting to the truth, is you might think that also will bring a person to chidud shel Torah and to godless and gedula, tamid lomar, al dvar emes. The next part of the pasuk says, al dvar emes. And that's a reference to a pilpul or a chidud, which is for the purpose of achieving amita shel Torah, to understand the Torah in its proper way. Yochal im hegis daito. What about a person who's a balgaiva, you know, is very haughty in his learning, and he's interested in outdoing the next one and showing him, showing off that he knows better. Is he also going to come to chidud and gedula talmud lomar? Again, the next part of the pasuk says, "V'anova tzedek." You know, there's only someone who learns by anova with humility, and he's benachas with his friend. He'll be zocher here. V'im osim kain. If everything is done l'shem shemaim, zochim l'torah shenitna b'yamin. Torah is given from the right side. Shenemar. Pasuk says, Soroscha, Noros, Yiminecha. The Torah is given on the right, and he says, HaTorah Shenitna B'Yamin, Torah Oscha, V'Talamdecha, Dvarim Noroim. That the Noros is what the Torah will teach you, awesome things, great things, and that's because when it's learned properly, it's nitna b'yamin. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, zochim l'dvarim shenemru b'yamina shel Torah. This pasuk is indicating that you'll merit those things that are given by the right side of the Torah. The Omar Rabba bar Shilo, Amri le Omar Rav Yosef bar Chama Rav Yosef, Maidich Siv, pasuk in Mishle, Orech Yomim b'yamina, Bismola Osher v'chavot. You can't really understand this pasuk if you read it straight away, because it indicates that in the Amin there's Orech Yomim, but not Osher v'chavot. That's in the small. So what's going on over here? And that's what he asks. He says, Ela b'yamina Orech Yomim Ika. But Osher v'chavod Lekha, is it possible that only on the right side this length of years, but not, you know, not success and kavod? If there's Orech Yomim, then for sure there should be Osher v'chavod. Ella, but rather, how do we interpret this possibly l'maiminon minin ba, for those who go to the right side? These people are medagdek, they're the choker, the taimei shel Torah, they want to understand the Torah Al pi emes, and they work very hard to reveal the depths of Torah, and that strength and that effort is symbolically represented by the yamin, by the right side, which is the powerful side, is then orach yomim ika, v'kolshkein osher v'kavod. So then, what do we do with the last part of the pasuk, which says bismola osher v'kavod? He says lamas mi'ilim ba. If their work in Torah is insufficient, you know, it's limited, they're not interested in putting themselves out with Yigiyah, then that's like a person who uses his left hand, and his malacha is not going to be a very excellent, meticulous, perfect malacha when he uses it with the left hand, is then Oshev Akavad Ika Orech Yomim Leka. So a person who doesn't put in that extra effort, he's called a masmi'ilim, like someone who does work with his left hand. Okay, he does work and he gets schar for Torah, but he'll get oshev v'chavod. He won't get orech yomim. Now I'm not sure why he won't get orech yomim. What's the point here that he won't get orech yomim? One second. Let's see if he has anything here in the note. I don't see anything here. Amar Ab Yirmiya, Amar Ab Shimbed Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Hanochim Zel Zeh Balacha. If the Masa Matan back and forth is Benachas, they want to learn one from the other. It's like Kodesh Baruch Hu Makshiv Lahem. God listens to their Chavrusa. Shenemar, Pasuk at the end of the Tanakh, it says, Oz Nidbru Yirei Hashem. Then it says, "Vayakshev Hashem vayishma vayikasim sefer zikar lefun of liri Hashem lechosh vishmo." So the pasuk emphasizes nidburu. What's nidburu? He says, "Ain dibur ela benachas." When the Torah uses the word nidburu, it's referring to nachas. Shenemar, how do we know this? Yedaber amim tachtenu, which means yashpil. It indicates, in our context, the kind of humility, people who speak to each other with shiflus, they want to hear what the other one has to say. These are Talmidei Chachamim who are medaber b'shiflus, medaber b'nachas, and they will reach high levels in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come and hear their Torah. Umayim, what is the end of the pasuk? It says, Ulechoshve Shmo. Om Rabbi Ami, Afilu Chishev Lasos Mitzvah, Venenas v'lo asa, malalav akosav ki lasa. Somebody who really put in all the effort, planned, wanted to do a mitzvah, but circumstances were beyond his control. He couldn't implement his plan and achieve his goal. God considers it as if he had done it. Amar Rav Chinina bar Idi kol osa mitzvah kema'amora. Kema'amora means ketikuna. He does it with all the details, and he's very meticulous. He doesn't leave anything out. Is ein mevasrin also besoros ros? He will not hear bad tidings. Shenemar pasukin koheles shomer mitzvah lo yeda dovara. Person who is careful about his mitzvahs, he will know no evil. Amar Rav Asi itamer Rav Chanina. The same was Rav Chanina. Afilu Hakadosh Baruch Hu goes to gzera. If somebody does a mitzvah properly, mevatla, God will destroy and repeal that decree. Shenemar, it says earlier in that same pasuk, it says Basher Dvar Melech Shilton Umi Omarlo Matase V'Samachle Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Dovara. So the pasuk says that he who guards a commandment shall know no evil. And for the word of the king has authority, and who can say to him, what are you doing? And then it says, he who guards a commandment shall know no evil. In other words, he will not suffer any harsh decrees. So the implication is, he who guards a commandment can say to Hashem, what are you doing? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu empowers him or allows him to make this query, to raise this question, and God will repeal that evil decree. So a mitzvah should be inherently good. A defect in a mitzvah is evil. When one performs a mitzvah with an inherent good, without any defects, he removes himself from the realm of evil. And therefore he will not receive evil tidings. Amar Rabbi Abba, again back to Limud Torah, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Shnei Talmidei Chacham Makshivim Zed Lazeh Balacha. In other words, they learn with humility, each one wants to hear and understand what the other one is saying. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomea Kolon, God hears the voices of their learning. Shenemar Pasuk in Shir Shirim, Hayosheves Baganim, Chaverim makshivim lekolei hashmi'ini. So Yosheves Paganim, which means those who sit in the gardens, is then, just one second, let's see, those who dwell in the gardens, the companions hearken to your voice, let me hear it. So Yosheves Paganim, those who dwell in the gardens, those are people who sit in the garden, the Torah gardens of the Bate Midrashos, and they are Chaver Makshivim, the Pasuk says. Means they listen to each other. Is lo kolei hashmi'ini? If they do this, then Hashem wants to hear their call. Omer lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo kolei hashmi'ini. But v'im enos, and came the flip side, they don't want to listen one to the other. Is garmim l'shchina shem istalekes mi'Yisrael, shenemar, the end of the pasuk says, brach todi. Todi is a secret password for the Shechina, Udma. So the Pasuk Brach Todi is a remez for the Shechina that is running away, removing herself from Klal Yisrael, if they're not going to listen to one another. Om Rabbi Abba, Om Rabbi Shim ben Lakish, another statement in the same tradition, Shneim Talmid Chachomim Hamadgilim Zelaze Be'alacha, which means they gather together to learn together and to help each other in understanding the learning, and there's no Rebbe there, but they're teaching each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oav on God loves them, Shneimar V'diglu Alai Av, a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, V'diglu alai ava. His banner over me is love. And that means that this is a banner around which people rally, symbolically representing the concept of gathering together with love. And the Gemara learns that two scholars who gather together, meaning they say to one another, come, let's learn together. Between the two of us, somehow we'll work out pshat, we'll be able to understand. We don't have a teacher right now. Hashem loves them. In this situation, even though they don't have a Rebbe, they might not get the perfect learning done. Again, this only applies to two people who know at Tzuras Hashmua. In other words, they know they've learned something, they're on a certain level, they have the roots, and they want to develop them further. So they did learn by the Rebbe. Now they want to take it to the next level. Again, they shouldn't leave their Rebbe until they really have a good methodology, a solid understanding of how to take apart a sugya. But once having reached that level, then they can learn independently b'chavrusa. V'huda lesle rabba b'mussel and migmar minei. There's no other Rebbe in the city to teach them. But they have the basics, they have the idea, they know how to learn, they have the methodology, at least on one level. Again, whenever possible, they should learn by their Rebbe, because that's going to give them an insight into the deeper meaning of Torah. But if there's no Rebbe around, they can successfully learn together with that mutual respect, and they'll try to understand the sugya the best they can without a Rebbe, and Hashem loves them. Now we're still in this transmission between Rabbi Abba in the name of Reish Lakish. Omer Rabbi Abba, Omer Reish Lakish, Gadol HaMalveh, Yosim and Oset Staka. Lending money is even greater of a chesed than giving staka. Because when you give staka, the Ani is embarrassed about it. Here there's no embarrassment. He's going to give it back. Umatil Bekis. If he gives money to an Ani, he should try to make some sort of business deal with the Ani so that they can divvy up the profits. And that's even greater, Yosem Mikulam, that's even greater than Alva. Because in the case of Alva, he's a little embarrassed that he has to take money. But here, he's a partner in a business, so to speak. The Ani is able to reap some of the dividends. And not only that, He doesn't have to return any alva. He's going to make money. He's going to be able to support his family. That's the highest level. Another statement in this same transmission, Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Shimon bar Lakishim, Talmud Chacham, Nokem v'noter k'nochashu. If a person is a genuine Talmud Chacham, he can be described as Nokem. He takes revenge and he bears a grudge like a serpent. What does that mean? And it says, Chagreu almasnecha, gird him to your loins. So usually we consider this a flaw in someone's character if he's a noter kinochash. So there's Gemara in Yuma here, which the Maratz Chayes quotes. The Gemara says, "Kol Talmud Chacham sheinu nokem v'noter kinochash eino Talmud Chacham." Why? Well, what's this great praise that we're heaping upon someone who's a nokem v'noter? The Torah says lotiko, right? So Maratz Chayes explains.
So
there are situations in which, for the sake of protecting the honor of the Torah, he has to be very harsh with this and unyielding, a man of principle. He's no came and no tear. But he has to do it shelo litzorch hanos atzmo, like the nachash, who's the symbol of someone who shoots out his venom, but he doesn't get any hanah from it. And if a person reaches that madrega, then you want to attach yourself to that person. You'll get benefit from this Talmud Chacham. But on the other hand, im amaretzu chassid. Al Todur Bishkunaso. So this like reflects the principle of Ein Amoritz Chassid. So we're talking about an Amoritz who's a Chassid. In some sense, he seems very pious, but he's not really, if he's not knowledgeable in Dikduke Mitzvahs, then his Chassidus is imperfect, to say the least. So, you know, you don't necessarily want to live in his area, because if you live close to him, you'll probably imitate him, and you don't want to imitate someone who doesn't know anything about Digduk B'mitzvahs. This is something that's very relevant in contemporary times, because there's so many people out there who are claiming or presenting themselves as Hasidim, but they're really ignoramuses. They don't know what Digduk B'mitzvahs is all about. That's not real Hasidus, and people imitate them. It's a very strange phenomenon. Omer of Kahana, this is a different tradition, but again in the name of Reish Lakish. Others say it was Rav Asi who said in the name of Reish Lakish. Others say it was Rabbi Abba in the name of Reish Lakish. Kol HaMegadel Kelev Rab Besoch Beso. If a person raises a rabid dog in his house, Monea Chesed Mitoch Beso. Which means that if you have a wild dog, the aniyim, the poor people, are going to run away. They don't want to go near it because they hear the barking of the dog. They're scared away. Shenemar, this is based on a pasuk in Iyov. Will now turn to Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. Lamos re'eu me'reu chesed. Lamos is a remez to a kelev. She came b'loshin yevonis korim lekelev lamos. And the pasuk wants to teach us, according to this drasha, that if a person raises a lamos, which is a kelev, then that prevents him from meireu chesed. And Reish Lakish is reading the pasuk as if it says monea meireu chesed, even though I don't see the word monea here in the pasuk. Rav Nachbar Yitzhak Omar af porik mimenu yirashamayim shenemar v'yiras. Shakai Ya'azov. That's the next part of the same pasuk in Iyov. And a person has to have a certain reliance on Hashem, that Hashem will save him. And when he goes too far to try to find ways of saving himself, protecting himself, then that's a chisaron in his midah bitachon. So a person is megadol kelev because he's not relying on Hashem. He goes to the extra shmirah. Again, natural shmirah, that's one thing. But this is a kelev ra. You'll see it very often. You know, beware of, a sign outside the garden there or whatever it is. Beware of a dangerous dog. They even show you a picture of it. There are people who are in danger and they raise a kelev. And then what happens is, because of the kelev, he's Yoshev Shananu Batuach Bekalbo. He relies totally on the kelev. And Meser Es Bitchonu Me'Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not going to have Yiras Shamayim. He puts all his faith in the dog. Okay, we'll try to finish the Agadita, even though we wanted to wrap things up because of the lateness of the hour. But Ahi Issa Di'ayla Lahu Besa Lemefa. So there's a certain woman that went into the house of so-and-so in order to bake a betzeka. Betzeka is a kind of a dough. And she got reshus. And nevach bei kalba. And the dog, the owner of the house, had a dog that started barking, and she became very frightened. And as a result, it turns out she was pregnant. It's akar vloda. She lost the baby because of this fright that was so overwhelming. I once had this experience. I didn't lose a baby, but I'll never forget it. I was so frightened when a dog just about attacked me. At the end, the woman who had the dog, she had on a leash some sort of a red shock. At the last second, the animal stopped dead in its tracks, so to speak, because of the shock. But I didn't know about that. So, Omale Mari Lebese. So the Baal Bayis tried to calm her down and said, Lo Tidchale, don't be afraid of the dog. Dishkile Nive. In other words, it's very sharp teeth. You know, the four Shinai Maruchos that usually teeth were removed, so he can't bite her. Ushkilin Tufre. And likewise, the very sharp Tziparnayim that usually on his feet, that the animal could, you know, with his claws, he digs into your skin. Those have been removed. Amrole, so the woman said to him, to the Baal Bayis, Shkula Tivascha Veshadya Achizre. Now, let's translate those words literally and then see if we can understand what that means. Okay then? He says that the gratitude of your reassurance is taken away and cast onto thorns. Why? Kfar nod vlad. The fetus has already been dislodged, meaning it's too late to calm me down now, because even though you've removed the dog's teeth, the fangs, its claws, but it doesn't matter. It's too late already. I've lost the baby. And of course, this Gemara has to be understood. It has more symbolic meaning. Amar Rav Huna, Maidich Siv. What is the mashmos of the pasuk in Koheles? Smach bachur bialdusecha v'yativcha liba bimei. In other words, rejoice, young man, in your childhood, and let your heart cheer you. B'darkei libcha, v'yativcha b'darkei libcha, uv'marei necha. and go in the ways of your heart after the sight of your eyes, vida. This sounds like Koheles, yeah. Vida ki al kol eila yviacha halokim b'mishpat. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So Rav Huna answers his own question by saying, Ad kan divrei yetzer hara. Until here, in other words, you have to take apart the pasuk into two parts, split it into two parts, divrei yetzer mikam v'elik divrei yetzer hatov. So we start the pasuk, and it says, Smach bachur bialdusecha, and we take the pasuk all the way until vida ki al ele yaviach alakem b'mishpat, and up until this word vida is all the yetzer hara that's trying to seduce a man to violate the Torah. Mikan v'elech, it's from vida and on, it's divrei yetzer hara that's warning him about liyasid lavo. So again, the first part of the pasuk says, oh, enjoy your youth, you know, whatever your heart takes you, whatever you see with your eyes, you know, eat, drink, and be happy. But the second part of the pasuk is already the Eitzah Tov is speaking and warning him. Reish Lakish Amar, he says a little bit differently, Ad kan l'divrei Torah. The first part of the pasuk is referring to the study of Torah. And mikan v'elech l'maisim tovim fakima mitzvahs. So the pasuk means is to learn b'simcha b'tuv lev, with understanding. Kfiro seinecha means according to your capability. And then you should know that for everything that you learn, sovcha at the end, litenes adin imlo tekaimon. There's a warning here that great, you know, you've studied the Torah so well with simcha and so on, but be careful that you should understand that when it comes to Maisim Tomim, to be Mekayim the Torah, you got to be beware that you'll be punished if you don't fulfill that Torah that you've studied. Okay, that ends this Agadita, and that ends for our discussion for today. Let's just make a cheshbon where we got up to here on Daf Samach Gimel Amid Beis. We're up to Diris Tahora, the two dots, which is about 15 lines down from the top of the page.